Since, and that was a blessing. Praise the Lord. First Chronicles 11. We do have one thing I forgot to mention. The Lenawee County Fair gave us a second place trophy for the outside display, and appreciate. Yeah, give the folks a hand that put all that together. And the pastor didn't do it. I got news for you. But the folks that did, thank you so much. And it was just a blessing how it all came together. And I don't think they've ever given a trophy. I know we've gotten first place and second place before, but is this the first trophy, Brother Chase, that you know of anyway? Yeah. Sure. Amen. Very good. Very good. All right. I think that's on. Very good. First Chronicles chapter 11 and verse 15. One of my favorite stories in the Bible, and I've preached about David's mighty men before, and I love to talk about them. But go a little different direction with this story tonight. Of course, as you can see, the Lord's Supper table is set up. For us to receive the Lord's Supper together, and the Bible does say that we are to examine ourselves. Doesn't mean examine your neighbor, examine yourself, and just make sure your life, your heart is right with the Lord as best as it can be, and I trust that you will do that as we have the Lord's Supper right after the invitation. 1 Chronicles 11:15, the Bible says, "Now three of the 30 captains went down to the rock to David, into the cave of Adullam, and the host of the Philistines encamped in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in the hold, and the Philistines' garrison was then at Bethlehem. And David longed and said, 'Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem that is at the gate.' And the three brake through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it, and brought it to David, but David would not drink of it, but poured it out to the Lord, and said, 'My God forbid it me that I should do this thing. Shall I drink the blood of these men that have put their lives in jeopardy? For with the jeopardy of their lives they brought it, therefore he would not drink it. These things did these three mightiest.'" Father, bless the preaching tonight. Thank you for the great music tonight. Lord, for the good spirit. And we just pray that you'll help us now to listen carefully to the Word of God and listen, of course, to the Holy Spirit, that we might make the decisions we need to make, that we might ponder the things that you show us tonight, meditate on them, and be different because of it. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You think about this story, and you always think about the mighty men and the amazing thing that they did, and often I've talked about that, made reference to it before, but I want to talk to you tonight about David's offering, and that is the title of the message tonight, David's offering. And you think about offerings, and I'm reminded of the story of the little boy in Africa, and the missionary was taking up a special offering and said, "Folks, we need you to give everything. I mean, as much as you can. Just ask God what he'd have you to give." And a little boy was standing there in the service. And the people were digging deep, and they were giving as much as they could, and it was a great need. And when the plate came to this little boy, he just stopped and looked at the plate and realized he had nothing, and he set the plate on the floor, and he stepped in the plate. And the whole idea is, you know, that's all I can give. Well, you know what? If that's all you can give, that's the best you can give. And I read this about David's offering. It's an amazing offering here. It really is an amazing offering, and it should be our heart. It should be the way we think about God and the way we think about our lives for God. Everybody ought to do what that little boy did. Really, that's the Bible says that's our reasonable service. Amen. Present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. The Bible says that's our reasonable service. And it should be this question every day of our lives: Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What do you want me to do? But really, specifically tonight, I want to just look at David's offering. And I see some things here that I think would be very, very helpful to us. David here, of course, you know the story. He's very, very battle-weary at this time. And he is here in a hold. He's hiding. He's running, and he's very, very thirsty. And in his mind, all of a sudden, comes the well at Bethlehem. And he, I'm sure, thought back to times when he was younger, and maybe he was a teenager, and then maybe they were playing Philistines and Jews, you know, like we play Cowboys and Indians, and or something like that. Or he thought back to when they had been playing or something like that. And boy, he could always go down to that well and get a drink of water, and it was such a blessing to him. And so here he is, just in the hold here, and his men are all around him, and just all of a sudden, out of the blue, he just expresses that he'd sure like to have a drink from that spring in Bethlehem. And, you know, something like, well, you know, I'm thirsty. And you know what would be great right now? It'd sure be good to be able to drink from the well in Bethlehem. Now, you know, you have to understand, the Philistines occupied Bethlehem. The Philistines had a garrison set up in Bethlehem. And between where David was and Bethlehem, there were Philistines everywhere. And so David, when he says that, he really did not expect anyone to go try to get a drink of water for him from that well. But three men, they loved him. Now, folks, I'll be honest with you, and it's a whole other message, but we ought to love God that much. Amen. We ought to love God that much. Three men just listening to David. And three men heard him say that he would love to have a drink from the well at Bethlehem. And those three men said, we'll get him a drink of water from that well. And the Bible says the three break through the host of the Philistines, drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. It's an amazing story, it really is, and these are mighty men. But obviously you can imagine them getting that cup of water and fighting all the way. They break through the host to get to it. They get the water. They have to fight all the way back. And all of that so they could give their king, so they could give their leader a cup of water. Because he said, I'd sure like to have a drink of that water. I'd sure like. You know, it's so opposite of a person who says, well, the Bible doesn't specifically say we need to do that. You know, it's just so we should be listening. God, what would you like me to do? Amen. What would please you the most? What would be the thing that you would want me to do? But that's not what I'm talking about tonight, but that is certainly what we see here and what happened. But number one, I want you to see, and I just wrote down four things about this that I think are important with David's offering. And the first thing is this, it was a common thing. It was a common thing. It was water. Just water. That's all. The Bible says that David then would not drink of it, but he took that water. Now, this is something that he had said, boy, if I could just have a drink of that water, I'd sure be excited about that. That sure would be great. Boy, it sure would refresh me if I could have just a drink of that water. These three guys risk their lives. They get the water. They bring it back to David. David looks at it, and he pours it out. Water. It was a common thing. Water from the well of Bethlehem. Common thing. Do you understand that the sacrifices for God usually are the smallest things? They're the small things. Most of us are not going to do some great sacrificial thing for God. They're the small things. They're the widow's mite. They're the things that most people would look at and say, well, that's nothing. But God looks at it and says, that's great. It's a common thing. I mean, understand that it's the common things God's looking for. Do you realize before you're going to be a missionary to Africa, you should be a missionary to your neighbors? Right. The common thing. Oh, boy, so-and-so's going to be a missionary to another country. Yeah, but so-and-so's been a missionary to their family already. Well, that doesn't sound so dramatic, does it? Doesn't sound as dramatic to do Larry and these guys, these missionaries, have a missionary presentation, and doesn't seem as dramatic to do a missionary presentation. I'm trying to reach my family. But see, it's the common thing. By the way, How important is it to reach your family? But it's a common thing. Before you know, boy, if I could just give, if I could have millions of dollars, I'd give that. But, you know, before giving part of millions of dollars, give part of a dollar. We have children here already. We have children in this church that tithe more than some of the adults here. Oh, preacher, come on. Yeah, some adults give nothing. There's children here tithe. They get an offering. They get 50 cents. Well, so they give their nickel. It's a common thing, but let me tell you something. It's every bit as big and important to God as that guy giving $1,000. I'm just saying it's a common thing. God is never asking us for big things. He's just asking us for, hey, what do you want to do? What can you do? Before you're going to surrender your life for full-time service, and I think everybody should do that. Everybody. But before you do that, you should serve. You should serve God. What a blessing to watch folks at the fair. Just serving, just whatever they could do. Kool-Aid, mixing Kool-Aid, serving Kool-Aid, handing out little flyers. It was just such a blessing watching folks. Just opportunities to serve God. Common thing. Well, that's not a big thing. How do we know what a big thing is? How do you know what a big thing is? How do you know how important that track was that you gave out? It's always, and you read your Bible, it's the common things. It's the little things. Who would have thought a jawbone of a donkey would be much? But Samson used it to kill 1,000 Philistines. Who would have thought that a rod, just a stick, would matter? And yet, boy, God thought it was pretty important in the hands of Moses. Who would have thought that in every day just a boy's lunch would matter? But how many times do we tell the story about that boy's lunch and how God used it? But it was still just a lunch in the boy's hand. But it became a banquet in Jesus' hand. It's the common things. The common things. David took one smooth stone and threw it at Goliath and killed him. It was just a stone. It wasn't a grenade. Seems like it should have been. It wasn't a huge spear. Seems like it should have been. It wasn't a tank shooting something. It was a young man with a stone. It's just a common thing. It wasn't a special stone, as far as we know. Just a common thing. See, our problem often as Christians, we're looking for the great things. We're looking for, you know, well, I want to do the great things. But the truth is, the common thing, just being faithful, it's a common thing. The heroes at Berean Baptist Church are the folks that are just faithful. They're here all the time. They're doing and doing and doing. You know, somebody comes along and they do some great thing. We look at that real big, but God's interested in, you know, you're working nursery. You've worked nursery all your life. You've been in the nursery week after week after week. You've cleaned the buses. You know, I think of Ed back there, and I don't want to embarrass Ed, but faithfully cleans those buses and those vans. Faithfully every week. I watched him as it snows. There he is, pushing his little cart. I watch him in the summer, and he rides his bike, and he comes, and it doesn't matter. Pouring down rain. There's Ed. I said, "What you doing, Ed?" "Oh, man, I got to go clean the buses." And he's excited about it. It's a common thing. I got news for you, folks. God looks at that, and God loves that. But it's the common things. It's not the big things. I'm often amazed at you know, well, you know, I just want to be a big shot in the Lord's work. Just be a servant. Just be willing to do whatever God wants you to do. Don't look for the great things. Luke 16:10 says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much." Be faithful in those little things. Be faithful. You know, be faithful to read your Bible. Be faithful to pray. Be faithful to give out a gospel tract. You say, "Oh, I just want to do something great for God." But every day, do something for God. But I want to go down in the record books. And then that's wonderful. That's great. But just every day, just get on your knees and pray. And every day, give God some time to read His Word. And every day, meditate on the things of God. The common things. The things nobody sees except God. Do you understand? Those who are most likely to succeed, usually it's a surprise who really does succeed. You look back to your class, and I don't know if your classes did this, you know, most likely to succeed. My class did most likely to recede. I won. Actually, I wasn't most likely then, but I've definitely won that one. But the truth is, you look back and you look at the one, everybody's, oh, that person, he's going to be great. Oh, that lady, she's going to do great things. Usually they're not the ones. I've heard the story many, many times of Rick Martin in the Philippines, and in college, he was just a guy. He wasn't Mr. Highlander. Where's Kelvin? Way back in the back. All right. He was just a guy. He got his degree. He paid his bill. He did the common things right. And now he's got the greatest church in the Philippines. And one of the greatest churches in the world. And if you talk to people that know him, he wasn't a big shot. He just did the common things. See, the common things are the beginnings of doing great things for God. Never would I have imagined sitting at Marion Baptist Temple toward the back and sitting there, and I remember the service very well because two things happened. One, there was a special offering taken up. It wasn't a big thing, but it was a special offering. And I don't know if my wife remembers this or not, but there was a special offering taken up. And then the second thing, the preacher said, we need somebody to volunteer to help out in our Christian school. And I mean, I honestly, as soon as he said, we need someone to volunteer, I was so excited I couldn't hardly stand it. And I thought, he's not going to choose me. I still had my long hair then, and we were kind of new in the church, and people looked at us kind of, you know, a little bit different at that time. And he said, we need somebody to help out in our Christian school. Not teaching or anything, just help out, maybe after school, coaching perhaps, and working with several different things. And we need our playground swing set painted and all that. And I'll never forget, I threw my hand up with excitement. I honestly couldn't believe when I looked around and no one else had their hand up. I couldn't believe it. I was, and again, I'm just a new Christian at that time. And you know, that seemed like such a silly little thing. I still can remember with my long hair painting that swing set, and you've heard me talk about it. It was ACE, so it was red, white, and blue. And I was about 40, no, it was just below 40 degrees outside. And, you know, I had no clue. I didn't know anything about paint. I didn't know anything about swing sets. I didn't know anything about any of that kind of stuff. And I remember being out there in my flannel shirt and my long hair. The wind was tossing my curls all around. And I remember one of the guys in the church, I said, how do you paint a swing set? You know, the poles and everything. Oh, he says, you just dip the rag in the paint and just put it on. And we had some of the poles were white and the middle one I think was red and some side ones were blue or something like that. I don't know. It had to be ACE colors. And so there I am out there dipping my hand in paint and it's just under 40 degrees outside. I thought I was going to die. My hand was red, white, and blue. And I painted the swing set. I walked in. I'll never forget this. I'm freezing. And I've got paint all over me because, again, you're dipping your hand in and you're getting up here and it's smearing all over and I don't know what I'm doing. And my hair's blowing everywhere. And back when, you know, and that's one of the blessings of being bald. When the wind blows, I don't care. See, some of you, you're going like this and I just go on. Amen. And I'll never forget, though, I walked in the restroom. They were having school that day and I walked in and there's a group of the boys, teen boys, standing there. And I heard them kind of laughing and I thought, yeah, I'd probably laugh too. I looked in the mirror and I was a total mess. But I heard one of them say, won't be long, he'll get his hair cut. Now, you know, and you know the whole story about that. It was just a simple little thing, painting the church swing set. Just a common thing. Never in my wildest dreams would I have dreamed at that time that I'd ever pastor a church like this one, a great church of great people. Never would have imagined that. But it starts with the common things, folks. You're looking for, you know, oh, I just want to do some great thing. I remember my first time in a prison service. And sitting at the tables, and we would preach to the men. This was down at Cantonment Prison. And we'd preach to the men, and then we would sit and counsel with them. And I'll never forget, I was sitting there, and there, at the beginning of that ministry, we only had like four guys. So here's my one guy, and he's talking to me across the table. And he got kind of upset about some things. Not at me, but he was just upset, and he banged his hand on the table. It was in the kitchen area. They served meals there, and there was salt and pepper. And when he banged on the table, of course, the guards are immediately up, but the pepper thing, it flew up, and it got in my eyes. I had pepper in my eyes, tears in my eyes, and the guard thought he punched me. And it was just a common little thing. But I'm going to tell you something. Working with those guys changed my heart toward people. Amen. I didn't have any idea what God was going to do in my life. I had no clue of it. But I'm telling you, it was a common thing. Well, what's that guy's? Who is that guy? What? I have no idea. Folks, listen to me. Don't discount those common things that you can do for God. Volunteer, volunteer, volunteer. Serve Kool-Aid? Sure, I'd be glad to. That'd be wonderful. Clean a restroom? Sure, I'd be glad to. Number one is a common thing. Number two is a costly thing. The Bible says in verse 18 how costly it was. The three break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. But David would not drink of it, but poured it out to the Lord. It was a costly thing. Their lives, the Bible says, for with the jeopardy of their lives, they brought it. David recognized they put their lives in jeopardy. Listen to me. A common thing is made precious because of the cost. A common thing is made precious because of the cost. That's why the widow's mite was more than anybody else gave. Well, is it more money? That's not the way God looks at it. It was more that she gave, that she could give. A common thing made precious because of the cost. We live in it. We're so selfish and so into having what we want as opposed to saying, God, what can I give you? What can I do for you? And certainly those things that are costly. Let me remind you something. We're common. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us is a sinner. We're not the greatest of anything. We're sinners. We're not even the greatest physically. We come from dirt. But oh my, the cost to save our souls. The cost, the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no greater cost. And so, we're precious to God. Yeah, we're just common. But the cost, the blood of Jesus Christ. And that makes us heirs, joint heirs with Christ. That makes us God's children. It's a good principle. Don't offer that which costs nothing. Notice on over a few pages, chapter 21, verse 24, David again, chapter 21, 20, and verse 24, and you know the story, the people are griping and complaining, and I'm sorry, that was another one, another time people were griping and complaining many, many times. But God is dealing with the people here, and the death angel is coming, and David needs a place to offer a sacrifice. And a fellow named Ornan says, verse 23, Ornan said unto David, take it to thee, let my lord the king do that which is good in his eyes. Lo, I give thee the oxen also for burnt offerings, the threshing instruments for wood, the meat, the wheat for the meat offering. I give it all. King David said to Ornan, nay, but I will verily buy it for the full price. For I will not take that which is thine for the Lord, nor offer, watch this, burnt offerings without cost. Without cost. And our offerings, there should be a cost. There should be a cost. God, I'll give you 2 hours soul winning. Should cost you something. Should be a cost. 2 hours. God, I'll spend some time in prayer, you know. Well, it should be costly. That's why so many times, many people pray early in the morning. Oh, I lost some sleep. Well, there should be some cost to whatever you give God. Look at Malachi 1, verse 13. Malachi 1, 13. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness is it, and ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts, and ye brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick, thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? You know, person brings a lamb that's going to die anyway. Person brings a lamb that's lame. Good principle in the Old Testament. Bring a sacrifice that costs. A sacrifice that costs. An offering where there's a cost. Your Bible time. Time of teaching Sunday school. There ought to be a cost. By the way, just getting up there and reading whatever somebody else wrote, that's not much cost. Sunday school teacher, put some time into it. Put some prayer into it. Go after those young people. Cost. If it's done right, there will be a cost. Proverbs 3, verse 9 says, honor the Lord with thy substance. What's that mean? That means with whatever is yours is His. The Bible says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. He doesn't, you know, I remember the first time I read that, I thought that meant He wanted me to die for Him. It doesn't mean that. He wants us to live for Him. It'd be easy to die for Him and go to heaven. Easy to die and be able to see. Amen. Be easy to die and feel good and strong again. Be easy to die and go to your mansion, but the cost is living for Him. That's why so many people balk at it. Living for Him. See, He wants us alive, but it's our reasonable service. He gave Himself for us. A teenager says this, well, I'll serve God when I'm older. But you're not understanding the cost, because now's your best years. Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. The older you get, and we have older people that serve God. Don't get me wrong, many do. And many serve God and then go take a nap. And that's okay. But I'm just saying, you know, this idea that, well, I'll do it. I'll do when it's more convenient for me. What about a cost? What about a cost? Let me ask you, what do you offer today? Do you offer that which costs nothing? Or do you offer to God that which costs? It was a common thing. Number two, it was a costly thing. Number three, it was a coveted thing. And I love this. Verse 17, and David longed. This was something he wanted. He didn't lightly just pour out that cup of water. He wanted that cup of water. He wanted that cup of water for himself. It was a coveted thing. It was something he longed for. But when David realized how precious it was to him, that meant this is just right for God. How hard is it to give something to God you don't want? Amen. I remember I wrote years ago a children's program called the Young Ambassador Club. And one of the things in it, one of the awards they had was to give a good toy to a bus kid. I think it said give a good toy. Or it might have said something like give a toy that you like. Because, you know, lots of kids say, yeah, I'm done playing with this. I don't like it anymore. They'll give that to the bus kid. No, give a good toy to a bus kid. Amen. Why? Well, because it's not a sacrifice if you didn't want it. David's soul longed for that water. He gave God something. Really, to him, it was the best by far. And he gave God the best. Oh, how we're so quick to give God the worst part of the day. We're so quick to give God the leftovers. Well, we got to pay all the bills and we'll see what we can give God. So quick. How about a thing that you like? How about a thing that you love? How about a thing that you want? How about your dreams, your desires, saying, God, I'll give them to you. But see, we've grown up in an era where people are saying more and more, well, what about my rights? What about my fun? What about what I think? We have people constantly going through this idea that, well, I think my opinion is the most important thing, and what about me and what I want to see happen? And you know what? It's time to lay that on the altar. Because an offering should be something. It should be something that is something I like. Something I want. Something I think is good. It should be saying, not my will, but thine be done. And trusting God. You ever desire something and then give money to God? Many times, several times. I'm thinking of times right now where I desired something and just said, well, I guess if I can't have that, I'm going to give this to God, and God, you use it however you want to. You say, well, I'm not saying God gave me the desire. I'm just saying, you know what? If there is something that I want and something that I desire, then if it's good enough for me, it's good enough for God. I ought to be able to give God something. And again, this idea that, hey, this is something that is precious to me, so it must be perfect for God. Do you know God doesn't need our money? He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, and beef is pretty expensive right now. I mean, He does not need your gold and your silver, and He doesn't need your land. And what He wants is our heart. And He wants us to say, God, I love you. I'll give you the best. I will give you the best. When's the last time you said, God, I give you my desires? I give you my wants. I know we usually save that for teenagers. And you know, they'll hear that at Shawnee, I'm sure, and all of that. And they need to, and that's good. But adults, when is the last time you said, God, I give you my desires? I surrender my desire. I surrender to you, God. It's something we want. It's a coveted thing. And then the last thing, number four, it's a consecrated thing. His offering, consecrated. He poured it out unto the Lord. It's not about the water, it's about the willingness. Because it just soaked into the ground. It's not about the H2O, it's about the heart. The water, it just soaked in the ground. Well, you think God used it? God didn't want the water. God wanted the heart. God didn't want Isaac dead. He wanted Abraham's love and trust and belief. And that's what He wants with us. Something unto the Lord. Something pleasing to God. Again, pleasing to God, but He doesn't really need it. He's after our heart. He's after our willingness. Just like this water. Boy, can you imagine how God must have rejoiced over that and smiled? Because He knew how much David wanted that. And David gave it to God. And it was God's once David gave it to Him. And it just soaked into the ground, as far as we know. But God could do with it whatever He wanted to do. And once it's given, it's given. Once you give 2 hours soul winning, you've given it. Amen. Once you give 1 hour teaching, you've given it. I've given 27. No, I've given 27 years being a pastor. I've given 4 years going to college. I gave that. God, this is yours. Praise the Lord. I'm saying don't think of taking back that which you've given to God. It always breaks my heart. Somebody goes to Bible college and say, well, I regret that I went. Why'd you go? Well, God, I thought God told me to. Did you give that to God? Don't take that back. Well, you know, I went to the fair and I did this, but nothing happened. Whoa, 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 whoa. What do you mean nothing happened? Something did happen. Something always happens when you serve God. You gave something to God. What do you mean nothing happened? Yeah, you know, I painted a swing set. What a dumb thing to do as a young married man. Don't take that back. Why? It's consecrated. Do you understand everything given to God is consecrated? It's holy. It's His. Yeah. Yeah. Once it's given, it's given. Don't think of taking back that which is His. That's why when you laid your life on the altar and you said, God, I surrender all, you can't take that back. You have no right to take that back. This morning, the group has dedicated their children. I thought they were over here. Wherever they are, had their dedicated their children. Now you can't take that back. You said, God, these children are yours. We will raise them for you, God. By the way, that's all parents do. That's what we're here for. Amen. God didn't give you children. God gave your children parents. And you raise them. You train them. You rear them in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. And listen to me. You know, you're saying, God, here are my children. And then about the time God calls one of them to be a missionary, you say, whoa, wait a minute. No, don't take them back. You gave them. It's a consecrated thing. Consecrated. You know, the truth is, you may not like God's call, but those children are not yours. They're His. Because you gave them to Him. Same thing with your life. Same thing with your marriage. You make vows. Allison, Charlie, you make vows to one another? Okay, you're going to do that? Okay, you're giving your lives to each other, and you're doing that before God. Okay, you can't take that back. We're so casual about this thing. Well, I gave this to God, and I don't like the way things have... It has nothing to do with you. What do you mean you don't like the way it's turned out? Hey, who'd you give it to? Who'd you give it to? You made a vow? Keep your vow. I mean, all over this room are people that have made vows and broken them. Okay, did you make that vow? Did you give that to God? Okay, listen to me. You cannot take it back. It's a consecrated thing. Consecrated. Reminds me of old Belshazzar getting out the cups and the vessels from Jerusalem that had been taken when Jerusalem was destroyed by Babylon. And all those things had sat and sat and sat. And Belshazzar said, hey, let's have a party. And he gets all those cups and those things that were consecrated, those things that were dedicated, those things that belonged to God. And he has his wild drinking party. And they drink out of those things. And all of a sudden a hand appears and writes on the wall, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. Wow. And the Bible, I always love reading this. I read it in the King James. It says his knees smote one against each other. I love that. What's that mean? He was scared. Because God was telling him, you're about to die. And by the way, that night he did die. Why did he die? Because he took something that was consecrated. It was God's. Folks, listen to me. The offerings that we give, the things that we give, when you give it, it's His. And that's the way David looked. Well, what about that water? Then David knew what God wanted. He wanted his heart. He knew what God wanted. And you know, you surrender your time, your talent, your treasure. It's His. It's His. Consecrated, given for His use. And don't take it back. Don't take it back. Can you imagine David later on after that took place and everything? And can you imagine David saying, well, you know, I sure wish I had that drink now. That's how we are so many times. Boy, I wish I had that drink now. Those men, they risked their lives and everything. And to bring me that thing, and now I'm thirsty again, and I wish I hadn't done that. David, don't complain about something you gave to God. Because it's God's. And it's God's. It's in His hand. And God is going to take care of it. Let me ask you a question. Do you know of anything common in your life? You say, I can't do great things. You don't have to do great things. You can do a little thing. There's some things you could do. Some costly things. Things that are going to take your time. Going to take your effort. You know, teach a Sunday school class. Take some time if you do it right. It's a costly thing. Something that is a coveted thing. Something that time or that effort that you have to put. It's gonna be something that you like that maybe you're gonna give up. But understand, when we give it, it's consecrated. It belongs to God. Years and years ago, I said, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Don't know what that is, but I'll do whatever it is. If you want me to paint a swing set, I'll paint a swing set. If you want me to clean a toilet, I'll clean a toilet. Whatever you want me to do, God, I'll do it. And I have no right to take that back. And you have no right to take it back either. It is, once you give it to God, it is a consecrated thing. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. No one's looking. No one's talking. I wonder if there's someone here tonight who'd say, Preacher, God has spoken to my heart about something tonight. God's speaking to me about something in my life. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. But God's dealing with me about something. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand all over? Just slip it up. Slip it up. Raise your hand. Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Father, I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for this little story in the Bible about a simple little thing like water, but a wonderful sacrifice. Not only by the three men, that's its own story, but by David, who gave something that he wanted, something he longed for, and he gave it away because he loved you. I pray we would love you that way. Bless the invitation now. Please help us to do whatever we need to do. I pray in Jesus' name.